Tuesday night.
Hello everyone, welcome to Oh What A Night, part of the 90 Min Podcast Network. You join us off the back of Spurs losing to Leeds away from home on a Saturday afternoon, and we got to well and truly put to the test the would you rather lose early in the weekend in the first game, or would you rather lose the last kickoff of the weekend? Spurs very kindly have provided us with both of those scenarios this season. Joining me on the pod today, Shawnee Walsh, Dan Kirkpatrick and Hunter Godson. Everyone all right?
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah.
Mate. Suitably bounced back.
No, it was quite, Sean's nailed that there. Apathetic.
Oh, that's not good, is it?
It's one of those that it was proper wind out the sails again. It was like, it's dropped completely. We're flying on angels' wings. And Dan warned us last weekend that perhaps Sheffield United and Southampton aren't very good football teams. And lo and behold, he was correct.
I wasn't prepared to give that at the time.
Yeah, at the time, I was like, yeah. All right, Dan, sure. When we smash Leeds 10-0.
An egg on your face then.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, none of that, unfortunately. We're going to delve through the good, the bad, the ugly and the beautiful, as always. And so we'll kick off. Do you know what? Let's just kick off with, as we usually do, with how the game played out. Shawnee, give me your kind of overarching take.
Well, Dan said last week that Sheffield United and Southampton were the best teams that Mason possibly could have faced as a rookie coach. And I think in Man City and Leeds, who are probably the two most structured, well-oiled teams in the league, those are the two worst that you want to face, because it became apparent after the first half when we were playing well, but we didn't make anything kind of clear-cut apart from the goal and the offside goal. Apart from that, we just looked nice, we looked tidy, and that was it. And then when we came out for the second half and we had to step it up a gear in order to get something out of the game, we just weren't able to find it, and everyone looked a bit lost, and Leeds really powered through and were really, really impressive, I have to say.
Yeah, I think that's one thing we should probably say here, is that Leeds played very well. We spoke to a couple of Leeds fans on Friday, didn't we, Ben? And they were saying, we're missing a couple of really key players. We've moved into a more defensive structure in the last few weeks, and it's not massively leading to any chances being created. Well, they found a happy medium on Saturday, a very happy medium whereby they looked quite sound defensively, and then they moved the ball forward really well and with like real momentum. And so they deserve a lot of credit, but we just fell away, didn't we? That second half performance was everything that's accused of this, been thrown at the Spurs team this year, and the structure fell away, that they looked unfit. There was no purpose in the passing. And just more of the same, really, which was very disappointing.
Right, slight break in proceedings. You'll be delighted to hear that once again, we're a sponsored podcast. I know, this ragtag bunch having a sponsor, mental, but this podcast is now brought to you by Manscaped.com, or brought to you again by Manscaped.com. We've been very fortunate to have been sponsored by them in the past as well. And I suppose, being the bastions of sartorial elegance and male grooming that we are, it kind of makes sense that Manscaped have come to us as the place to advertise their trimmers for scaping the areas around your prized assets. So get 20% off and free shipping with the code 90min20 at manscaped.com. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. Felt like it was lacking a bit of identity there as well, Dan, or not?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I think we'll come on to this, but I think Mason got it wrong, and yet I don't blame him at all, if that makes sense. I know we're going to come on to Mason's tactics, so I'll try and steer clear of that. But yeah, it was just very deflating. I mean, to echo what Hunter alluded to there, like, I think I always thought the danger with Leeds is they're not actually the really entertaining side that they were in the first half of the season. I think any kind of analysis that has Leeds as sort of really open and free scoring and free conceding is kind of first half of the season analysis. And they've really tightened it up in games against United and City and Chelsea and Liverpool. And I think obviously beat City and only conceded once. I think got 0-0 draws with United and Chelsea. I think got a point against Liverpool, possibly a 1-1. So it was always going to be a tough game. And I always felt like the kind of key for Spurs was to be defensively tight, because, you know, Leeds were going to be defensively tight. And it was kind of all the defensive weakness that we've seen over the last kind of 18 months just wrapped up into one game. You know, individual mistakes, collective mistakes. They look bad as a unit. They look bad as individuals. And quite a chastening Saturday. But to answer your question at the top of the show, I think that's almost one of the worst times to lose. At least if it's a Friday night, you can kind of almost compartmentalize it as not part of the weekend. You're like, the weekend starts now, Saturday. When it's Saturday lunchtime, that's surely the weekend gone.
Yeah.
So does that, because you do that weird thing, don't you, where you kind of like will crack on with something else, and then you'll occasionally just be like, why am I annoyed again? You just suddenly remember that this thing bloody happened. It's what keeps like just nudging you in the back. Surely, just before we move on, it did make me sort of look and think, oh God, I absolutely know where I would like Spurs to prioritise making a signing in the summer. Did you have that as well? Or are you still kind of a bit like, we need multiple?
I think we need multiple, but I think a proper leader at centre-back, so you can bring it out from the back, like a top centre-back is the priority for me. Like, I think that kind of goes hand in hand with getting a new manager who is able to, who's like a really just kind of strong structural tactical coach. I sound like such a bare minimum thing after this last year we've had. Jesus Christ. yes, I would like us to be able to play football with tactical nous. Yes, please.
I don't think that's too broad a thing to say, because I think that football seems to have broken down now into really two very clear schools of thought. You get managers that come in and work with a squad, and then you get managers that come in and have got a philosophy. And it kind of feels like you're going one way or the other at the moment. It doesn't seem like there's too many managers in the world that can go in and take a bunch of parts that could be absolutely anything and then bring them towards a philosophy. I think like you're probably looking at someone like Ancelotti, maybe, that would be the closest example. But there's not many of them, right? Maybe Conte. There's not
The longer the season goes on, the more it feels like maybe we should have pulled the trigger earlier and gone for Tuchel before Chelsea did, because the job that he's done there with the squad that, you know, they were like, what, 9th, 10th when Lampard got binned off. Everyone was saying, oh, that squad's not good enough. They need to clear out anyway. Like, it's going to take it's going to take Tuchel time to really get going. And all of a sudden now they're this winning machine who are really stable defensively, and they have a lot of quality up top when they need to win games as well. And I just think that there is the potential for that with our squad, but I don't know who the manager is to come in and do that right now anyway.
Yeah, Hunter, we had that conversation, didn't we, on, like you're saying, on Friday, where it was pointed out to us, ironically by a Leeds fan, that Lampard had said, this squad is not ready. Like, they're not ready to go out and win big games. And now we're sitting here with them about being a FA Cup final, a Champions League final, having just beaten City twice within 3 weeks.
Yeah, and also, whatever manager we sort of go after in the next few weeks, you feel like maybe in 2 weeks, Arsenal might be looking for a manager as well. And it's going to be of similar mould. So, I mean, Spurs have to move quickly, whoever they go for now. The Nagelsmann joining Bayern and Ten Hag signing his new deal are sort of damning indictments of I think, what Spurs can offer now. I would love to hear the conversations that go on between them. I'd honestly, I'd pay thousands to know what was said in the room between Ten Hag and whoever, Levy. I just wonder, what they're offered in terms of coming to Spurs now. Are you going to be able to go out and sign players? Are you going to be able to offload some players? You know, it's not a great market for that. So it'll be interesting, you know. We're in a weird position. But to go back to your question, I think Sean's right. And everyone agreed with Mourinho when he said we needed a new centre-back. That was never in question. We needed a new centre back. We didn't get the big shiny centre back that we wanted, and we've suffered because of it. But there's plenty in this squad that I would have moved on.
Let's, in the interest of balance, let's still do like always. Let's still try and pick out some optimistic points to start with. So, in at number one, Delhi, particularly sort of going forward, first half, beginning of second half, Delhi. He was a joy at times, Dan, wasn't he? Sort of almost rolling back to Delhi from a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I do. I'm wary of the fact that kind of Delhi's star has fallen so far that we're looking for kind of any glimmer from it to cling on to. But I do honestly think, you know, the first 45 minutes was definitely the most encouraging 45 minutes of the season for him. You know, you can discount any kind of bright performances in the Europa League because, you know, there was very little jeopardy there. And I thought probably the assist for Son's goal was his kind of best moment of the season, overhead kick against Wolfsburg aside. You know, it was really kind of clever the way he just waited. That was the best thing about it. You know, he dribbled, carried the ball forward well. He used the space well, but there was just a little delay on the pass while Son got up to speed and hit his stride. And he didn't wait too long so that Son was kind of in danger of being offside. It was a really, really good bit of play, although it did take a little touch on the way through, but I don't think that made much difference. So, yeah, there were definitely some green shoots with Delhi. Obviously, Southgate was there watching as well, which was bad news for Eric Dyer, but you know, potentially good news for Delhi. I don't think he'll be in the England squad. I don't think he's got a chance for the summer, but, you know, he'll be looking beyond that as he should. And it certainly did, you know, there was certainly enough there to suggest that, you know, with a proper coach, with a more confident and kind of well-drilled and fit squad, you know, he could be really, really useful asset again next season, which was of course kind of what the club was hoping when they kept kind of blocking him leaving in January.
Mm. Yeah, I tweeted at the time, like, it's so annoying how he was just frozen out for no apparent reason, because he put up good numbers last year. He had 25 Premier League starts. He got 8 goals and 4 assists. That's a good return. That's a solid return for a side like us who ended up finishing 6th, especially when he didn't really play after the restart either. And so the longer that he's just hasn't played, the more it's just seemed, oh, he must be crap because that's why he's not playing. And it's refreshing that he's come back into the team and he hasn't really missed a beat and he looks fit, he looks sharper than before. And he just looks like he wants to be involved. And hopefully, you know, I think we can criticise Levy for a lot of things, especially recently, but I think he definitely does have an eye for a special player. Like he blocked Ndombele leaving, he's blocked Delhi leaving a couple of times now. And I think that's really going to help next season, whoever the manager is.
Do you think, Hunter, that we at Spurs are any different from, like, in terms of a supporter base, we're any different from any other club in terms of the way that we're prepared to give up on players or, like, thrust players forward as sort of like goats, the social media parlance goes. But do you think we're any different? The reason I ask is sometimes I feel like we've, as Sean was saying there, sometimes it feels like we're ready to be like, nah, they're done. You know, like you look at someone like Ndombele and yeah, okay, maybe he's not starting at the moment, but I never feel like Ndombele is not an elite player, even though he's not playing.
Yeah, I know what you mean. No, I don't think we're different, to be honest. I think you can always find the echo chamber that you want to fit your sort of, I'm not going to say agenda because it's a word that I think is widely misused these days. But I think you can find people who feel the same way as you, basically. You know, now people are calling for Ndombele to be sold, Delhi to be sold, you know. And I think it would be madness to sell them. But no, and I think people are willing to, Spurs fans are especially willing to get behind Delhi because we have seen the quality that he has on a weekly basis, whereas people at other clubs have seen it in glimmers, and then they've also seen him have bad games, but every footballer has bad games, you know. I think Delhi's game has suffered after losing Christian Eriksen. I think his game suffered massively. I think those two connected particularly well. You know, that was the formation that worked for us incredibly well with those two. And Christian Eriksen is one of those players who can find though, part of Delhi's game is those little cute runs behind defenders beyond the last man, and Christian Eriksen found him so regularly. I'm not going to put too much into the Christian Eriksen thing because it really hurts me. I loved Christian Eriksen. I thought it was such a poor way to let him leave the club. But yeah, I don't think we're too rabid in our support of Delhi. I think he's earned it, basically.
Bit painful seeing Eriksen win the league straight away.
Yeah, and the fact that, you know, he was written off by Christmas and then he started playing and was brilliant. Been absolutely brilliant for Inter. And you do sort of think, well, it's just nonsense. Football fans are fickle. And, you know, you've lost one of the best creators in world football for me.
Those quotes, it was so difficult to win a trophy before.
Right.
I actually understand that, though, because I think he must have meant that the Premier League is just so much more competitive than Serie A, and Inter have just kind of run away with it, where they've been the only competent team this year.
I'm trying not to read into that. That's definitely part of it. I've said to you at the beginning of every season is, to win a trophy, you have to beat Manchester City or Liverpool or Chelsea or Manchester United here. And it's as simple as that. You have to beat these super teams who spend much more than us. Yeah, exactly.
Pray you get the 1 year where it turns up as Millwall in
the final. Is what I mean. Arsenal somehow managed to get Aston Villa in the final for the last 13 years or something ridiculous like that. Do you know what I mean?
Spurs did get that year, but Leicester just walked into it as well. So,
yeah.
What can you do?
Yeah, and the other one that I remember is Portsmouth in the semi-final of the FA Cup.
I mean, yeah, that is a complete utter bottling of a colossal. I remember being so confident at the time. But yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Let's go on. Just talk a little bit about Hugo as well, because there are parts of this game and where Hugo was making saves, and it was reminding me of that first half against Dortmund. Do you remember when he just sort of just seemed to be getting absolutely battered from all angles, but making these brilliant saves time after time. Unfortunately, on that day against Dortmund, I think we played with a back three that night. And I remember Vertonghen making some of the best blocks I've ever seen in a game. Same with Ben Davis, actually, in that game as well. And our defence just wasn't up to it, Shawnee, this time around.
Yeah, it's weird with Lloris because it's not like he's been at the same kind of consistent level ever since he joined. It does seem that he is at his best when he is having to save us from like just completely obliterating. That when we're on top and he's got fewer things to do, like he'll make a couple more errors. He won't be as, maybe it's a concentration thing, but he is, when the going really does get tough, then he is always there to do his best to try and save us. And I feel sorry for him that he's had to put up with some of the defences that we've put out in recent years. I guess that kind of gets counteracted by the good defences he's been behind, but some of the crap that he's had to deal with, oh my God. Like, this guy is a World Cup winning captain, could have won the Champions League as captain. And
He kept it respectable on Saturday.
Yeah.
That, if make no mistake, there were several very high quality saves. We know what his cat-like ability is in those moments. He's one of the best in the world at those reaction saves, and he can really fling himself across the goal. One thing I would like to criticise him for, and it still hasn't gone away, it's the same thing forever, his kicking is atrocious, and it puts Spurs under pressure constantly. And I noticed that particularly against Leeds when they were pressing high and the ball would go into midfield, but it was just being lost over and over again. And I think we'll probably come on to it, but Kane left a few, which is very un-Kane-like, where he didn't challenge at all. And I did think, oh God, no, please go up for them, Parry, please.
Yeah, do you know what? That kind of leads us on nicely. In the interest of fairness, in the bad section, we have got to talk, as Dan said earlier on, about our approach for this game being wrong. At the end of the day, you come away, you lose 3-1, and Hugo Lloris making the amount of saves that he made. And on top of that, there was at least two or three other occasions where it was like 3-on-1 or 3-on-2, and you were thinking, my word, if they're just efficient here, they're going to score. Dan, what do you put it down to? Where do you think Mason kind of got it wrong? And does he get a free pass still, or should we be saying, hang on, this is poor?
I think he gets a free pass. None of the big problems, the structural problems at the club, are anything to do with Mason. He's been thrust into a ridiculously difficult position. I think on the whole, he's done really well. He's, you know, he's been fairly impressive in front of the media, if overly cautious, I think. And, you know, he's done reasonably well to get kind of, you know, 6 points from, you know, two easy games. You know, that was what Spurs needed. But yeah, he came up short. And I think in the interest of fairness, you know, I think we've hammered Mourinho on this podcast many times, and I think quite rightly. But yeah, he would have, I suspect, done better in that game. You know, the way Mason set up against Bielsa was, I think, naive. You know, there were lots of different things. I mean, I think the key thing, again, as we said after the City game, was just trying to play out from the back against a high-pressing, high-energy side without Ndombele was really strange. I think actually in the second half, the forwards, when they were getting on the ball, were looking quite sharp. You know, Son was looking sharp. You know, Kane looked a bit absent to me, but, you know, it's still Kane. Dele was looking reasonably sharp, but they just weren't getting the ball because the midfield was overrun and there was no midfield control. And I just thought Ndombele fixes this game, or Ndombele makes this game much better for Tottenham. But I mean, there are other problems that, you know, trying to pass out from the back with Dier against Leeds is not a great approach. You know, a more, especially as the pitch was really wet, it was raining all day in Leeds. Mm. You know, a slightly more direct approach would have made total sense.
Our pitch, by the way, as well.
Yeah, we did sell them that.
Yeah. Oh, I wish I'd known that at the time. That would have been a funny tweet, wouldn't it? We'd have been beaten on our own pitch. having Bale, just to finish, you know, having kind of Bale and Kane sort of try and press Leeds and Dele try and press Leeds high, and then, you know, Bale completely being unable to get back and protect Aurier. You know, the whole thing was a bit of a tactical and kind of structural mess. And I think we played into Bielsa's hands. There were obviously loads of people who were just completely fed up with all the squad. And I totally get that. You know, I totally get the calls, people saying kind of burn it to the ground, apart from sort of Kane and Son, you know, fair enough. But I think on this occasion, you know, with a bit more experience in the dugout, and this isn't Mason's fault, we could have given that, you know, a much better go.
Yeah, sort of strange that there is that that burn it to the ground kind of school of thoughts. Very much, it's there, and it's, I would say, it's kind of got a growing number of voices. But it's also, it comes from months and months and months of frustration and anger from people, that has then kind of flipped very quickly into people being like, oh, thank God. And then them having this realization that things are not just going to go away overnight. Like, there are deep rooted things that will have to be trained out or kind of coached out, that, and ultimately the fitness piece, I think, is just so crucial. I know you mentioned it earlier on, Hunter, but it's so crucial, isn't it? When you're playing against a side like Leeds, to think that you can press a side like Leeds, it was never going to be that easy to do that. It was never going to be a case of Spurs being able to press Leeds off the park with it.
No. They're too good at passing the ball around, to be honest with you. They're too quick in the pass that we didn't get near to them with the press. I think what Dan said is absolutely spot on, basically. We have to be fair in saying that I think Jose Mourinho, when we played Leeds early in the season, he proved that he can, you know, that he understands how to play that team. And I think I had people atting me on Twitter saying, see, that's why you can't press high. And I was like, well, I believe that a manager should be able to play more than one tactic, and that's it. And so, I think it was a naive move. I think, again, we're going to be left with that feeling of what if Ndombele was on the pitch. But even so, as you said, they had a load of chances. And the press just seemed... One, it wasn't a very good press as well. It was going in ones rather than setting traps. And I think that comes as a team that looked tired and slightly worryingly disinterested. I don't believe in the burn it to the ground thing. There's loads of really high quality players in this squad, but it is a case of some need to go and some need to be brought in. And, you know, you'll be able to see, as with any club, the turnover can be really quick. It only takes two really quality players for things to turn around in key areas. And I think centre-back and right-back are really important for us still.
I touched on it earlier, like Leeds were a tough team to come against because they're so well-drilled. They know exactly what they're doing. I think looking at Leeds and you look at the kind of personnel that they've got, that is surely a sign that no squad is uncoachable, that no player can't play that way. That surely they all have it in their locker. They've all got to this level. They can all play out from the back. They just got to have the know-how. And I remember tweeting in the first half when we were in the ascendancy that it made me a bit more comfortable with the idea of hiring a manager like Potter, because if the players know what they're doing and the players of our quality rather than Brighton's quality are playing that kind of way, then I'd be more confident that we'd be able to win more games and to keep teams out.
Having said that, Sean, it does definitely feel like people just need a break, doesn't it?
Oh, God, damn.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait for the end of the season.
Yeah, the Euros will be a nice distraction as well, I have to say. Go on, Dan.
Just on the kind of burn it down thing, the big sort of call from Pochettino was not that these players were kind of bad players now, but that the squad had kind of gone stale. That was his contention like a few years ago. And
yeah.
And I think to an extent, like the fan base has kind of caught up with that view. Like a lot of players who I think could still definitely do a job. It just feels to me like maybe now just their time's kind of come. I mean, Lloris, for example, I mean, I think he's actually had a very good season. Man City away aside, I think he's been, you know, pretty good. Mm. But it just kind of feels, almost just sort of feels to me like the end of the road for him in a way. Mm. And I think there's a few like that where you just think, yes, that they could be very good under a coach, but actually just replacing them with sort of similar quality, taking a punt on that just for the fresh feeling that everyone would get would actually be kind of beneficial in the long run.
Yeah,
I feel like a mental agree. Thing as much as a technical thing then.
Yeah, yeah, someone like Harry Winks, for instance. Clearly, he's a good player, Harry Winks. I just wonder, a new manager comes in, he doesn't get played. Do we find out that there's grumblings behind the scenes? I think there's a lot of relationships that behind the scenes that maybe we need to, as a club, need to address before the new manager comes in or when the new manager comes in. Danny Rose is another one. I think his contract's up in like a month and a half or something anyway, maybe less than that. But he's still there. He's not training with the first team either, apparently. So it's just another relationship that's just sort of behind the scenes, you know. There are issues, aren't there?
I think the difficult thing with that as well, that a lot of Spurs fans are slowly starting to kind of come to terms with, is that it's the end of an era. Like, it really is. Like, it's not just the end of Pochettino's sort of time. And that took sort of 17 months for people to kind of come to terms with. And it almost like, at times, I think I heard someone, maybe it could have been on this pod, it could have been on another one, that almost described Mourinho as a palate cleanser. Like, right, you've had sort of 18 months of that. Now it's time for something fresh. But when you actually look at the playing squad as well, there's not that many different faces. And it's almost a recognition, I think. The thing that a lot of Spurs fans are struggling with is that they haven't come to terms with these players that they identified so deeply with are not the players that they were when they identified with them in the first place.
Yeah.
They've kind of reached this point where they can't apply the same standards onto these players. Like, you can't apply the same sort of the same relationship that you had with someone like Toby Alderweireld, for example, when he was in his prime with Jan Vertonghen, because he's currently playing alongside Eric Dier, who's struggling a little bit, you know, and it's just not the same.
On that as well, Haynes, the Jose Mourinho thing felt like he was brought in to sort of ride the crest of the wave that Pochettino had set up. Like, these players supposedly were ready to win a trophy now, and I think what Levy was hoping, banking on, was that they might just be able to take Jose Mourinho, a trophy winning manager, and just ride that wave for a little bit longer, win a trophy, and then it all collapses. But what we saw was it all collapsed well before we even got close to winning a trophy, basically. And now we're left in a much, much worse position because of it.
One sort of thing that we should probably put in the ugly that we will touch on, it sort of almost feels a little bit unfair to touch on this now, but the Kane offside, I I don't know about you guys, but I do sympathise with Mason a little bit when he says that the game sort of could have hinged on that moment. If Spurs go 2-1 in front, I think it's a completely different game.
We feel like we have loads of those moments where VAR either disallows our goal or allows something else, and there are so many instances in the recent past where we just haven't been able to get up from that. Yeah. I do think with this one, it was just so nonsensical, wasn't it? It's just so clearly not clearly offside at all.
Do you think it was onside?
I think he's onside.
Yeah, he's level for me. The line is, it's not even like, usually you can even see a little blur maybe going over the little white line that they've drawn. I can't tell you how many times I've looked at it. And I've had the conversation now. I fucking hate talking about VAR, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah. It exhausts me and I can't be bothered, but it's just, I don't understand, you know, why isn't the attacker getting the benefit of the doubt in that situation? It just is level, isn't it? And so many of those, you know, going back to last season when this all started, you know, there were so many that were just level, you know, it's level.
I'm with you there, Dan, though. Like, I'm so exhausted by VAR that it didn't really upset me. Like, I feel like it should have upset me, but it didn't. Like, it was like, oh, for God's sake. Like, as soon as I saw the flag go up, I was like, chances are, like, they're going to draw something super close, and then we're going to find out it's marginally offside. The only difference this time around that I feel like is actually, that just makes it slightly unique, is that he's given offside, and I sort of almost feel like they went down the umpire's call route.
Yeah, I think there's something in that, yeah. If the linesman's flag doesn't go up, it's much easier to say, oh, no. You know, the on-field officials were right with their first instinct.
Which is weird, because offside isn't something that should be subjective. So it's a bit of an odd one to kind of to lean
on. But it is with VAR. You know, it's still someone making that call.
Yeah, exactly.
It's still a human making those tight calls.
And it's continued to, you know, until the personnel are completely changed or something, we bring in some new technology over the summer that can draw like a virtual line where you can actually see him break, like a break in the line. Or Henri's really, really crap rule, or Wenger's really crap rule is brought in. it's just going to be the same issues, isn't it? I don't know why this one annoyed me. I think it's because I care again.
Yeah, because it really did have, at that point in the game, it had the power to shift the game, didn't it?
And it was a lovely goal as well. Yeah. It was really, it was a nice really goal. Well worked. It was a brilliant ball from Dele Alli, and the finish from Kane was just so cool. Yeah. And
I want two nice goals, only one of them counted.
Golden boot for Kane would be nice. Let's finish up with a couple of kind of nice things. One, Dan, you managed to avoid having to get the train to Leicester. Sorry, to Leeds, because they're all cancelled. Leicester lost on Friday. Arsenal out of the Europa League. West Ham lost to Everton. Actually, Dan, you're good at telling me that this is not the way to go. Is there any, like, should I be getting hopeful at all?
Well, it depends what your hopes are at this point. Your hopes like
the Europa League, Conference League,
your hopes
please.
Like avoiding the Conference League, or your hopes like getting in the Europa League? I mean,
imagine
what are we going for
like,
now?
A sort of parental style relationship. Tell me where I'm allowed to go to the high street, but I'm not allowed to go sort of too much further.
I think you're allowed to be kind of hopeful of finishing fifth now.
Okay.
Oh, and hold on, I need to have a look at the table. Yeah, I mean, I think it's top four.
No, you said it. No.
Fifth, yeah. You can live in hope of overhauling West Ham, I think, at this point. It felt to me anyway, like I think Chelsea are just too good to blow fourth, and I think Leicester's lead was always probably just a bit too strong. There was a game Leicester won before their Newcastle defeat. Who did they beat? It's just escaped me. Anyway, I always felt like that was a big ask. And I think now, you know, it's this weird kind of balancing act where you definitely want to be in the Europa. You know, there isn't any doubt about that. It's such a winnable competition with this squad and with a decent manager. But you definitely don't want to be in the Conference League. Random. And as much as I'm quite keen for like trips to Malta, I just don't think it would be a great thing for the club to be in it. I mean,
so wait, Hainsey, the glimmer of hope, right, is that Leicester have to play, who have they got? They've got us and Chelsea, and we're 7 points behind them now.
And United on Tuesday.
And United. Okay, so there's your glimmer of hope. But the other thing is Liverpool have got a game in hand. They
so have Everton.
Exactly. So I would say the glimmer of hope is smaller now than ever. But, you know...
It's over.
That last day of the season, will you play Leicester? Dan, tell me you won't be excited if we're still in with a shot on the last day of the season.
Well, yeah, if that's a scenario, but it's not going to be.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'll be honest, this sort of like... It did make me sad the other day because I'd got so excited about the potential run to the top four. Just like the season, like suddenly you've got four games to define your season, and then we sort of stumbled at the first hurdle, which is a bit upsetting. I'm sort of also, maybe I'm being a bit tragic. I really want us to finish above West Ham. Like, I really want Spurs to finish above West Ham. I know David Moyes done a brilliant job and he's like made them so functional and fit for purpose, but like, it's just important for me. they've done well, but we need to make sure that like we don't let this narrative kind of become a thing where people are like, oh, maybe people will want to go to West Ham over Spurs. Like,
well,
no.
maybe Levy finishing below Brady, Sullivan, Gold would be a wake up call for him. Maybe he would really hate that. Maybe he would take personally, like Michael Jordan would. That's the hope anyway.
What do we know? Kind of, is it been confirmed if Man United win the Europa League, and let's just say City win the Champions League, there is no drop down, is there?
A team that's already in the Champions League.
This is becoming disgraceful.
But I mean more in terms of the Europa League. I'm at this stage. I'm thinking about how can we avoid the conference.
No, there's no. What happens is a team in the Champions League qualifiers gets bumped up around, and that's all that happens. The seventh will still get the Conference League. Yeah. Fifth and sixth will get Europa League.
Let's just enjoy the new manager that comes in when he comes in, and maybe
whoever
that's enough
maybe.
For us. And then
that's
the Euros.
That, let's
Southgate.
Just enjoy that.
Not our, please don't be our manager, but that's fine. You can be.
Let's hope that England win the Euros and then Harry stays forever.
Eric Dier raises the European Cup above his head as Euro 2020 captain. He's going to get into the squad, isn't he? He's going to get into the squad because
Harry Maguire's out.
Well, look, this is going wide now, but
is renegade. Isn't it? Right, let's call it there. Thanks for keeping us honest, Dan. Make sure you subscribe to the pod if you haven't already. Leave us a rating and a review. Be very much appreciated. We'll catch you later on in the week. Make sure you follow all the guys on social as well. Until next time, we'll see you soon.